This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined for our weekly Penn State football podcast by Seth Engel of the Post-Gazette and the Daily Collegian. Following an interesting blue-white week, Seth, how are you?
Doing well. Yeah, it was weird this past weekend. It was actually my first, I guess, Penn State game day of my whole entire college career not spent in the press box. So I was outside tailgating for the first time ever and last time because I'm graduating in 2 weeks, and then I had to go back and watch the game again because I couldn't miss it, and now I'm here to break it down with you. So
yeah, that's all right, Seth. You got a lot of years to tailgate after this, so not missing too much during your student years. Good to get that experience. Let's get into it. Obviously the big headline of the week, Keandre Lambert-Smith enters the transfer portal. Afterward, you and I were texting last week before our podcast being like, it seems like he might be going in. We weren't quite at the level to report it, but there was definitely vibes going in that direction. And then he officially enters, you know, to start the week here. What went wrong in the relationship, Seth? Obviously, he's going to go down for that long touchdown catch in the Rose Bowl. Was a great number one, I don't want to say a great number one receiver, but a solid number one receiver for much of last season, then disappears late in the campaign. I think some of us were expecting he might go into the portal then because of what was going on, stays till the spring, then finally officially enters. What's your read on what went down there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really strange story, really up and down story that I think really begins his freshman year. Keandre, as we know, is a very, confident and almost loud type of player, you know, and that's on and off the field. You know, sometimes he's making big explosive plays, but other times he is, he's a sight to behold at times. Like I think his freshman year, there were times that him and Franklin didn't necessarily lock in and see eye to eye on things. And it took time for him to really mesh and figure it out and mature. Like that was really the big storyline ahead of that 2022 season, was Keandre Lambert-Smith is really maturing, and it's gonna pay off. Like he had a starting role that year, and really stepped up. We saw in the Rose Bowl 2023, you know, as a coming in as number one receiver, was great in the season opener, and really, like as you said, just disappeared by, you know, week 8 or week 9, you know, those final four games of the year where he had just two combined catches, you know, and everyone's saying what happened. You know, we don't really know what happened, but you can assume, you know, there could have been some rifts between him and the coaching staff, him and the players, that just ended up with him ultimately, you know, having enough and entering the portal, which I think is a good decision for both sides.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing to me is that obviously that the moment in which he just disappeared from the offense very much coincided with when Mike Yurcich was let go. And then you bring in Julian Fleming. I just wonder, is the Andy Kotelnicki's offense maybe not what he's looking for, A, and B, did he not want to possibly take a demotion? Julian Fleming maybe be the number one, you know, receiver on this team. Keandre Lambert-Smith be the number two. Maybe he's looking for a place, you know, where he can be the unquestioned number one. Going to be interesting to see where he lands. Let's talk about this receiver's room overall without him, Seth. Based on what you saw, this not just, you know, on Saturday in the blue-white game, but, you know, all spring with Trey Wallace, Amari Evans, Saunders. I mean, are these guys you believe in terms of what this what Penn State has behind Julian Fleming, or do you think that the spring transfer portal window is going to be important for James Franklin to maybe find another established veteran, much like he did with Jalen Kimber in the cornerback room, maybe find another guy who can kind of be the Robin to maybe Julian Fleming's Batman?
Yeah, I mean, I think starting with Wallace and Fleming, I do think Lambert Smith potentially saw them as the one and two, and he could have potentially come in getting like number three reps, which is, you know, that's a huge step back for him, having been the technical number one, excuse me, last year, to come in this year and be a potential number three target. Not too attractive, but, you know, it says a lot about what Trey Wallace has been able to do over the past, you know, offseason and, you know, also last year as well, where he was supposed to come in as maybe the number one guy, but he had injuries the whole year. We didn't really see a full season of Harrison Wallace the third, and he really snapped off in that Peach Bowl and, you know, blue-white game as well. He led in receiving. So I do think there's good potential for him and Fleming to do some damage. With that being said, that other group that you mentioned, still waiting on someone to step up and stand out. But, you know, I really do think they could benefit from another guy in the portal.
Yeah, I think just a solid, dependable veteran type of guy. I mean, this can be one of those last couple of years where you can benefit from those guys who've been in college football for a million years. Go out and get one, a guy who's just looking for maybe a starting role where or a regular role if he's not number one or number two, and kind of fit him in there. I think I would like how Penn State rounds out if you can find someone who's not a question mark, just a dependable number two or number three. Let's talk a little bit about what would normally be the headline. This was our first look in any length, you know, as the public at Andy Kotelnicki's offense. Obviously, the, you know, we've been hearing all the sound bites from practice. Some reporters have seen 15 minutes of practice, but this was our first extended look. What stood out to you about, you know, what they were doing in comparison to last season? And then I want to get into how the quarterbacks look to you.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to hold off on quarterback, I know that was number one on our list last week of things to look at was, you know, Drew Aller, how he looks. But I think what really stood out to me was some of these young guys stepping up and how Kotelnicki utilized them. You know, I know Tyler Warren was out, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, you know, they're out. So in their place, you know, we saw Andrew Rapplier at tight end really step up. He had a big, you know, 30-yard reception or 30-yard touchdown reception from Drew Aller and really just looks, you know, built enough to play a Big Ten season, which is always a concern, you know, at that tight end position when it's a young guy. It's like, is he, you know, mature enough physically to handle this? And I think he is. Quentin Martin was another guy who stood out. He had two touchdowns in the spring game. We heard that coaches were a little iffy, you know, when he first arrived. They were honestly a little surprised by, you know, his lack of, you know, development with some of the things that they were doing in the weight room. And really just getting him up to speed was number one on their list for him. And it looks like he's good to go. You know, he's a tall running back who moves well. He's shifty. And I think, you know, he's up there competing with Cam Wallace for that number three running back spot.
Yeah, actually, before we get into the quarterbacks, that was another question on my list. Better to get to it now was, I mean, what are the chances these guys are going to play serious roles next season? Because obviously – you have Nick Singleton, you have Katron Allen, but Trey Potts was a big piece of this offense, I thought, last season and did some things in some important spots. He was not just kind of an afterthought. Do you think these guys have a chance to maybe get some of those late snaps where in late in games and do some things that impress some people? Because it seems like there are enough mouths. They can feed more than two mouths in this offense based on what we saw last season.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, you strip down all the nuances of Andy Kotelnicki's offense and as complex as it can be, and it really does come down to he's going to play the best players available. You know, if there's a guy on his roster that he believes can make an impact on the field, and he's told us this multiple times, he will play them. And there were some people last year, you mentioned Trey Potts. There are people who thought Trey Potts should have played a lot more than he did because he made a great impact when he played. I think if Quentin Martin is able to make an impact, Kotelnicki sees that, and he's going to play him and give him the respect and the snaps that he deserves. Going with Andrew Rapley again, and also some of these other tight ends. I mean, we've seen, you know, Khalil Dinkins. He's played a relatively significant role over the past few years. You know, Penn State has not shied away from 12 personnel with Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren, and you know, even when Brenton Strange was in that package too. So to play two tight ends at the same time, you know, it's not out of Penn State's nature. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a decent amount of Andrew Rapley this year.
Yeah, I think there's definitely room. I mean, we talk about how you feel good about the tight ends because Tyler Warren is coming back. But the part left out is just what you said, that a lot of times you are using multiple tight ends on the field at the same time. You know, who's going to find their way onto the field, and how can they kind of replace the hole that Theo Johnson leaves behind? I think that's going to be certainly an interesting storyline heading into fall camp, see how these guys mature, get their bodies Big Ten ready, and can they take that next step? I think it's a promising spring, but obviously the regular season is a different story. So important summer coming up for a lot of guys. Let's get into Drew Aller. What did you see from him? Penn State starting quarterback, a lot of hopes and dreams placed on his cannon of an arm. What did you see from him in this offense and how it looked like he fit to you? I think he had over 200 yards passing, which is, you know, a lot in a running clock spring game situation.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely flashes. You know, I did think his best play was probably the touchdown to Rapley, where he really just kind of let loose, which is, as we mentioned last week, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a relaxed and free-flowing Drew Aller who's going to throw the ball deep and make it work. And there were also times, as we saw last year, where it didn't work. And there were some miscommunications with the receivers and some overthrows, which is understandable. It's the spring. It's a new offense. You know, he's still working through it. You know, I think a lot of people forget that Drew Aller, and I think I mentioned this last week as well, he threw an interception, I think, in his first possession of the spring game last year. And he came in this year, and it took him how many snaps before he threw a pick? You know, so the spring game is only telling of so many things. And I think with him, you really do have to take your time with it. Also, Julian Fleming was not on the white roster. He was on blue. So, you know, he wasn't even throwing to potentially his top target. All of that goes into, you know, his performance. And but overall, I thought it was okay from Drew Aller.
Yeah, again, I think we want to see how it looks when you're facing a solid opponent, you know, going into West Virginia next season. Can he keep that same vibe about himself? Because it's, you know, there's no consequences for him, at least, for throwing an interception in the spring game. He's the unquestioned number one. Can he keep those vibes rolling into the regular season? I think that's going to be a big question. I also got to see the backups play extensively, Bo Prabula, Ethan Grunkemeyer. What did you think of what you saw from them and how they fit into this picture? You know, we've talked a lot. Can Bo Prabula be kind of a, I don't want to say 1B, but can he be a number two who's involved in this offense in a significant way and not just kind of, you know, a bit player?
Yeah, I mean, Bo continued to show that he's great with his legs. You know, he can run, but we already knew that. What we were really looking for was his ability to, you know, throw it and really, you know, do some damage on that side, which we really, I guess he really lacked last year, or, you know, just wasn't really given the opportunity. And he threw a pick, but, you know, overall, you know, I think it's the same thing with Drew, where, you know, it's growing pains. It's only been a few months that Andy Kotelnicki has been, you know, running practices with this Penn State offense. And then as for Grunkemeyer, young kid who we've heard a lot of good things about, who's now stepping into the quarterback three role when he was supposed to be the number four. So, you know, a little pressure on him. And, you know, I do think that it was a good opportunity for him to kind of step up in front of a packed Beaver Stadium and do his thing. I know he threw a pick as well. You know, there were some, you know, struggles, but overall, I think the future's bright. You know, they're going to need him to pull up. I mean, we talked about Matt Zollers and missing out on him, but you know, if Grunkmeyer works out, he could potentially be, you know, that succession plan for Drew Aller.
Yeah. I think that's the conversation, and seeing how those two guys distinguish themselves and how that, cause it's going to be, you know, they're always competing in practice. Does Grunkmeyer take that step and maybe supplant Bro Pribula in the spring in the fall? It'll be interesting to follow that storyline. Seth, I know you were watching the offensive line. Lots going on there. Did anything stick out to you in terms of the personnel packages and how different guys were deployed?
Yeah, I mean, I was really keeping my eye on Cooper Cousins because I think it's interesting where, you know, they could potentially play this freshman at center, play him decent snaps, but he also got some guard snaps, I believe, in there on Saturday, which is, you know, positional versatility. That's probably, if I were a coach, you know, if I'm bringing in a freshman, I'd probably plug him at guard first and ease him into center. It's interesting that his kind of trajectory has been the complete opposite, which I don't know if I've ever seen before, where a guy comes in as a just center and they're like, all right, let's try some of these other things first. That's interesting to see. And, you know, Nolan Rucci finally in a Penn State jersey. It's weird, right? You know, to see Fleming and Rucci, you know, Penn State players after James Franklin missed out on them, you know, a few years ago, for them to be back here. It's definitely interesting and pretty cool to see how it's just come full circle.
Speaking of transfers, Seth, AJ Harris also saw extensive time, made a lot of plays. I think he had 7 tackles. He had a pass breakup. There was that one, I think I forget who caught the ball, but he it was right on the spot, made a nice visually pleasing play. Did he looked confident to me. Did he look confident to you and like a guy who's ready to kind of take on that mantle of the secondary kind of right off the bat here?
Yeah, I think he does deserve to start. I know it's early. Well, we talked to him, and that confidence that you saw on the field, you know, you can tell when you talk to this guy. Like, it's in his voice. It's in his mannerisms of just, you know, he's here to compete. And I think he has the potential to be a really good cornerback for a secondary that really needs the help. You know, with 3 corners gone to the NFL, this is a guy with SEC experience. Now, 7 games as a true freshman in a loaded secondary at Georgia is pretty impressive. And we saw why, you know, Kirby Smart felt so confident to play him at just 18 years old last year. And I don't think James Franklin should have any trouble when it comes to determining whether, you know, he should, you know, give this guy a significant role in the fall.
Yeah, it was certainly a confidence that I did not see out there in the Peach Bowl, Seth. And that doesn't mean some of these guys the Penn State has can't be useful players and can't, you know, help them win, you know, maybe get to the playoff, maybe win a playoff game, maybe win a Big Ten title. It's just a matter of are they number ones? And I didn't see a lot of number ones in the Peach Bowl, and I saw the beginnings of it with AJ Harris. So we'll be interested to track his development here in the coming months. Seth, any thoughts on the blue-white game overall before I get into a couple of recruiting headlines?
Yeah, well, James Franklin kind of like lied to us when he told us it was going to be a traditional spring game of just competitive team versus competitive team, evenly matched. I mean, it wasn't at all. Like, it was – white was far better. It was interesting that they put all the transfers on one team and didn't really mix and match. But it was – I mean, white was – we always knew white was going to win that game. It was 27-0, you know, there wasn't even a chance. So it would have been cool to see it like actually as a game, but I know there are competitions going on, like they're doing this for whatever reason. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you know, he told us, but whatever. What did you think of the format?
I wish the running clock was, you know, when I was teased a traditional spring game, you know, I would have liked to have seen a few more snaps. I know you're at this stage of the game, you're trying to limit guys, but if you're going to talk about depth all spring, you know, maybe at least like in the last 5 minutes, stop the clock on incompletions. So that's just me. So I would have liked to have just, I guess, seen a little bit more and really like emphasize the 2 minute situations, create them in a real game environment. That doesn't mean you have to play hard for 60 minutes, but so there could have been a happy medium between what we got and what was promised to us. But, you know, in the end, not a big deal. It's one of those things we only talk about at this time of year. Seth, a encouraging recruiting headline. We always talk about, or it doesn't feel like we always talk about the negative, but we're frequently talking about the negative on the recruiting front. But there's a lot of good stuff going on, too. This week, Penn State pulls a commitment from four-star Alabama. He's out of Alabama, not from Alabama, not the school Alabama, from the state of Alabama. Alvin Henderson commits to Penn State. What did you think of Penn State going down and into SEC territory, into the Crimson Tide's backyard, and stealing a very good player for their future?
Well, first things first, this guy's got an awesome nickname. Alvin A-Train Henderson. I love that. That's great. But, you know, for Penn State to go down again and get a guy for South, not just the South, but Alabama, which, you know, they rarely have recruited into the past, is really promising to see. It also just says a lot about Jawan Sider and what he's done with this program. A lot of these guys, especially from Florida and, you know, Georgia and Alabama, mainly recruited by Sider. You know, that's a guy with huge Southern ties, and he continues to kind of make Penn State, I guess, prominent and relevant in the South, but specifically with running backs. And I know there are some people that are frustrated. It's like, oh, another, you know, blue chip running back. When are we going to get something else? You know, when are we going to get a wide receiver? But it's not a bad thing. You know, Saquon Barkley did pretty well. And, you know, there are some diamonds in the rough that Penn State could find that could really, you know, complete that whole offense. So, you know, Alvin Henderson is, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's quick. You know, he's stocky. And, you know, I think he has the ability to be a really explosive back for Penn State. And you know, his nickname, A-Train, you know, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. And Seth, the Nick Singleton, Catron Allen era is not going to last forever. I mean, you probably only have one more year of those guys together. Maybe one comes back. Maybe it's possible both of them leave at the same time just because they're solid pro prospects. So I think the more names you can get in there to compete for all of that, you know, all those carries, I think is ultimately a good thing. So, and I think it's important for Penn State to keep the running back train running because, you know, we talk about quarterbacks and they don't have the history with quarterbacks that a lot of five stars are looking for. And I think that's also true of receivers. They've done a good job of developing receivers, but they haven't necessarily been a place that a five-star guy comes in, shows out, goes straight to the NFL. I think that's a shortcoming ultimately, you know, in terms of getting the impact talent in here. But that's what makes running back so important. It's the bread and butter of this offense. It's the one thing that Penn State can hold its hang its hat on the recruiting trail and say, look, we got Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, you know, numerous other guys through history that have come here and succeed. And, you know, so, yeah, definitely not something to diminish. And I think those SEC inroads, you know, it's about proving that you can do it as well. And so that's something that's, I think, useful for the future. One thing that stands out to me about this 2025 recruiting class, though, Seth, Penn State has five Pittsburgh area guys. I did not, you know, I heard about a commitment here, a commitment there. I did not realize the extent to which they were piling up. Deshaun Burnett from Imani Christian, Alex Tatch from Latrobe, Xavier Thomas, Brady O'Hara, Tiki Hayes. This is a lot of talent from the Pittsburgh area. What does that say about the role Terry Smith still plays on the staff? Because I think, you know, sometimes it's because he's been around for so long, pretty much since James Franklin came to Penn State a decade ago. Sometimes it's easy to take him for granted, but I think maybe he's doing some of his best work in bringing some talent from Pittsburgh to Happy Valley this year.
Yeah, there is no better recruiter of Western Pennsylvania recruits than Terry Smith right now. It's hands down, this guy is locking them up. And for the longest time, I mean, there used to be some competition between Penn State and Pitt when it came to some of these recruiting battles for these local kids. And, you know, the past, I guess, like maybe 2 years, maybe 2 or 3 years, I mean, Pitt has just fallen off with it. And Terry Smith is really just running away with this crop of Western PA talent, which, you know, we talk about Jaywon Sider and what he's done down south. But what Terry Smith has done in state, I think is, you know, exceptional and remarkable in terms of, you know, maintaining Penn State's kind of presence in their own state and, you know, working towards that. You know, James Franklin always says best in state stays in state. And Terry Smith has, you know, gotten better every single year. You know, he's one of the best recruiters in the entire country, and he has completely locked up, you know, at least the western portion of Pennsylvania. So that's been cool to see for sure.
Yeah, and listen, I don't want to diminish it because, you know, I think some people will say, well, hey, Pitt's little brother, you know, they shouldn't be getting recruits from Penn State. They'll say that, you know, the ACC is in an uncertain place right now. I think players are picking up on that, you know, if you commit to an ACC school, where are you going to be by the end of your college career? Are you going to be in kind of a situation where there's only two Power Two conferences and you're not in them? So those are definitely headwinds for Pitt, but I don't think you clean up on such a complete level the way you do if you don't have Terry Smith's relationships and experience in this region. Like, if you plugged me into that role tomorrow, I don't think I could get all five of these kids into Penn State's class. I think there are a lot of actual football coaches who couldn't, Seth. So I think it's important not to diminish that work either.
Yeah, you have Pittsburgh ties, though. It's possible. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to pull. And I've talked to some of these recruits, like Anthony Speca and, you know, Peter Gonzalez, people from this most recent, you know, signing class that came from Central Catholic and now they're over at Penn State. And, you know, they just talk so highly of Terry Smith. And it says a lot when he's able to pull guys from literally their own backyard. Like, they could play 30 minutes from their house, maybe less. And they're pulling them, and, you know, 2 hours away, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how it's kind of played out. And, you know, it does have to do, you know, exactly with realignment and, you know, and kind of how, I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen in the next couple of years. I mean, we've already seen some things shift, but, you know, now we're hearing more and more talk of these super conferences, and that could come sooner rather than later. So, you know, whether that plays a part in some of these recruits' decisions, I think is definitely interesting to monitor.
Yeah. I don't want to overstate it either because, listen, the NFL needs more than just the SEC and the Big Ten to pipeline talent. There's always going to be, you know, paths for people at other programs. So, you know, it's not the only factor, but, you know, it is a factor. So something to keep in mind. But overall, great work by Terry Smith. Will be interesting to see if he can keep it going through the rest of this class and certainly into the following cycles. Seth, any final thoughts on the week before next week? We're going to be probably talking a little bit of more about the NFL draft than the current program. So anything in terms of who's currently on the roster you wanted to touch on before we sign off here?
No, I think that's about it for me. I mean, I'm looking forward to the draft, and we've already kind of broken down all those guys and, you know, interested to see where Olu and Shop, you know, end up, whether they crack the, you know, the first round or how high they go, and some of those other guys as well. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, we have talked about a little bit about them, but I think we're going to get into detail about teams, fits, things like that next week. So if you're not subscribed to the channel, make sure you are so you're tuned in for that. Also, make sure you're subscribed for a whole bunch of content the rest of the week. We've launched Jason Mackey's daily podcast, The First 10. He's going to be doing pretty much every day during the week. So that's more content than we've been able to offer before. We're really excited about getting him going. Obviously, Christopher Carter on the North Shore Drive on Wednesday and Friday. I'll be back Thursday with Paul Zeiss and Saturday with our Steelers mock draft tracker video. So lots more good stuff coming at you. If you enjoyed this video, please like it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. We always appreciate that. And we will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.